Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves, another interview. Boy, oh boy, they're coming hot and heavy, Tim. We got Adam Fantilli joining the show today. It's a beautiful, beautiful interview. Kid's nice. Good, sweet kid, 19 years old. Just don't forget that. He's only 19 years old, and he's already living this life. So it's very fun. Stay tuned for that. But we gotta give props to the people who make this happen, Tim, right?
They make it possible. Bet365, they are the proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. Open an account today with Bet365 and bet on a huge range of markets. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use code HOCKEYCA wherever you are in the world.
All right. Enjoy the interview, everybody. Cheers. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us here in another episode of Dropping the Gloves. We got Tim. We did it again. We have, like, I don't know how we keep doing this. We got Adam Fantilli. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, we get the, you know, the bargain basement players sometimes. They come on, it's cute, no one cares. This is Adam effing Fantilli. Adam, thanks for coming on the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
Be honest, because I'm out of the league. Do the boys talk about dropping the gloves in the room? Like, did John call you yet to get on the show?
I haven't gotten that one yet, but I'm really excited to get on the phone with an all-star MVP.
Stop it. Stop it, Adam. That's nice. Dude, when I was playing, podcasts weren't a thing, but is it normal now to be like, oh, Biz wants you guys on Chicklets? Like, did the guys talk about that in the room, or like Cam's calling you for Cam and Strick, or is it just kind of whatever?
During the season, I'd say like sometimes there'll be podcasts, but it's like through the team, I guess. Yeah. I did the Chicklets one right before the draft last year, and that was kind of the only other one I've done through a text. Everything else has been through the team.
Yeah, we're a little different than Spittin' Chicklets. We're not going to talk about that sort of stuff here. So let's keep it PG, Adam, as best you can. I know how you kids are, but anyways, elephant in the room. You're in Ann Arbor right now, obviously training at Yost. You're in Red Berenson's office. He just casually dropped that in a little nugget, Tim, just like show timing us. Patrick Laine, Adam, traded yesterday. You knew it was coming. It's perfect timing. You're on the show. He gets dealt yesterday, the Montreal Canadiens, or 2 days ago now. You've had some time to digest. You played with them last year for a little bit until he got hurt. And then obviously he had his unfortunate issues. He's taking care of that. He's ready to go. What are your thoughts on this whole scenario with Patrick Laine?
Yeah, obviously he had some personal things he had to take care of. That's why I entered the program, and I've talked to him, and he seems like he's doing well. He seems like he's ready to get back into the game and into the grind of things. He felt like he needed a change of scenery. He got that. Patty did a lot for me when I came to the team. He let me stay with him. Took me out to a bunch of dinners. So he was a great teammate to me, and I wish him all the best, to be honest.
And if you don't want to answer it, don't bother. We can move on or whatever. But your GM, Don Waddell, went on some Toronto radio station and said, Patrick Laine doesn't want to go into the locker room anymore. It seems strange for a guy, like, from all I've heard, he's a nice dude. He's pretty, you know, laid back. Seems like a fun guy to be around. You don't have to say anything, but why would your GM make that comment about one of your best players saying he just doesn't want to go back in that locker room?
I don't really know. Because we have such a great group of guys in our locker room. We have a great time at the rink. Maybe stemming back to the beginning of the year with anything that could have happened with the previous coach that we had. That's the only thing I can think about, because our captains have done a great job with making it a very welcoming environment. At least I can speak to my experience. So nothing ever happened that I'm aware of to make him feel uncomfortable in the locker room. Maybe it's he requested the trade and the fact that maybe it wouldn't have gone through coming back in after saying you don't want to be here would be a little weird. That's the only thing I could possibly think about, because yeah, the guys have always been great in our locker room.
Yeah, you're 19. You don't need to deal with this crap. You know, like, you're still getting your feet wet in the league right now. But it's interesting you blamed everything on Mike Babcock. Can we talk about that and just say unequivocally that it was Babcock's fault So is that, are you on record, Adam?
No, not on record at all.
That's so funny. I'm teasing. Obviously, it's not the reason. But anyways, moving on. Let's talk about early career, Tim. How do you want to, talk about Columbus? Because this kid's only 19.
Yeah, and you're from Toronto, and usually those kids are almost always going the OHL route. What brought you down to the USHL and then playing the NCAA over the Canadian leagues?
There was a few things that brought me down this way. First off, I went to follow my brother and play with him in prep school for my minor midget season when I was 14. So I went down to go play with him. Once I was down, like before that, obviously, like all I ever wanted was to be the as high a pick as I could be in the OHL draft and go play in the OHL, and that's all you're fed when you're living in Toronto.
Yeah.
But then I came down to, I played in New Hampshire. You're more opened up to that college environment and that being the more primary route. And then COVID happened, and the only where I could play was in the USHL because the OHL didn't start. Just so happened that my brother also played for the Chicago Steel, so we got to play 2 years together there. Thought about going to the O after 1 year in the USHL, and then I figured it wasn't going to be best for me, so decided stay another year in Chicago, and then went to Michigan. Had a blast at Michigan. Had so much fun here. And then another reason was I'm a late birthday, so I would have had 3 years before being eligible playing, and then making an NHL roster at 18 is not something you can plan on. So I would have had to plan on going back for a fourth year, and going back to a fourth year in juniors, I don't think is equivalent to doing so in the NCAA. So that was kind of my whole thought process.
Yeah, I mean, you played in Michigan, 65 points in 35 games on a totally stacked team with Frank Nazer and Luke Hughes, Rucker McGrody. What did you love most about college hockey?
That team was so much fun. Like, we had so much talent, awesome guys on the team. Just the college environment, living a college life, I don't regret any decision I made. It was so much fun. I loved it.
Adam, did you finish your degree?
No.
any plans to go back and get that done?
I'm not going to lie. This might be the first time I've opened my computer in a while. don't plan on doing it again soon. But who knows? Maybe further down the line, I might want to do that and come back. So trying to keep that door open.
Tim, I just want to say something. It's a lot. I had the same mindset as Adam when I was growing up. I wasn't obviously as good as you. I'm from St. Catharines, so right down the road from Toronto. I wanted to play for the St. Mikes. I got drafted by St. Mikes. I went to training camp, made the team, but I made the decision to go to the NCAA just because you obviously were in a different boat where you could have been probably a high pick in the OHL draft, been a stud throughout your career there. You made the right choice. It's a different vibe in the NCAA, isn't it? Where it's more laid back. You have more time to just be a kid. You go to class. You can go to a couple frat houses. You can just relax and just blend in to U of M. I went to Michigan Tech. It's a little bit smaller, but were you happy as soon as you stepped foot on campus? Like, boom, made the right decision. Even though you're missing out on the OHL, the Mem Cup, just being the man in these small Ontario towns, did you realize like I made the right choice right away?
Yeah, obviously I was a little bit nervous about making the jump. When I stepped on campus, I was still 17 and
crazy.
That was going to be an interesting little adjustment. But our upperclassmen and all those guys were great with welcoming me in. On this campus, there was like JJ McCarthy was still here. Like Luke Hughes had the season he had before I got here. So it's much bigger fish in the pond here. And yeah, like you said, you could blend in and go to your classes and kind of be around campus and just be a kid for a year, which I really enjoyed.
Ann Arbor's a great town too. It really is. Oh, I go there quite a bit. It's an awesome, awesome city. So at the end of the day, when your career is done, will you still like you train there? You obviously have a soft spot in your heart for that town. Do you see yourself not settling down, but maybe landing in Michigan potentially?
A lot of the guys have really nice places out on Orchard Lake and certain places around here. So I'd like to try and eventually try and find a spot to stay for a little bit longer here.
Gosh.
Obviously, my parents are still in Toronto, so that would be the main spot. But yeah, Columbus and Michigan are both great spots, so.
Imagine being 19, Tim. Just got the world by the cojones. You know what I mean? It's just I might pick up a spot here. We'll see. I'm gonna get one in Toronto, obviously. Might get one here in, Michigan. I'll get a beach. It's amazing. I'm happy for it. It's so crazy. Sorry, Tim, I'm hijacking your questions here, but it's so
Well,
neat to hear.
leading up to the draft, obviously you get all these comparables of you're like this player or that player or whatever in the league, but who did you model your game after growing up? Like, was there someone that you looked up to and try to emulate?
I just would always watch a ton of hockey and like look at a bunch of different things from certain guys. Like if you could try and build the perfect hockey player, like who would it be? And you watch specific things from specific players. I watched MacKinnon a ton, Crosby a ton. And like for shooting, obviously you look at guys like Pastrnak and Matthews and guys that are putting up all these goals and for brains you try and take from Kucherov and what he can do. So I grew up watching all of those guys and trying to emulate as much as I could through minor hockey.
Tell us a little bit about the World Junior Championship last year. Just a stud stack team with obviously Connor Bedard, which we'll get into with the draft stuff, but you're right, Gunther, Stankoven, you win the gold versus the Czech Republic. Just what do you remember from that tournament?
Yeah, we had a pretty stacked team.
Too
I
many good
mean,
memories already.
I remember we lost to the Czechs in the opening game. Me and Bedard both tried the Michigan, and it just went horribly in the media,
Yeah.
and people were all fired up, and we really had to turn it around there and whatever. Obviously, Beds did what he did in that tournament, and it was spectacular to watch. But yeah, playing that tournament in Halifax. In that building, it was so cool. A lot of my family came out for it. It was really cool.
Why did you try the mish? What did you guys talk about it before the game?
No, we tried it. So okay, I'm just putting it all right. I tried it first. He did it the
Okay.
second time. So that was me. But no, after that game, like Ben Chiklis was like kind of on us, and all like Canada was getting fired up and. He came up to me in the locker room before the next game. I forget who he had. It might have been like Germany or Austria or something. And he's like, "So we're trying it again today, right?" I was like, "No, I just got put on the fourth line. Like I'm not trying that anymore."
He did it this year in the league versus St.
Yeah,
Louis and nailed
exactly.
it.
Like,
Have you
yeah,
tried
he
it
killed
since
it.
that game?
Maybe I tried it when I got back to Michigan. I don't remember. No successful attempts.
That's so funny. But you did the World Juniors with Bedard, played great, you win the gold, everything's going great. The draft is coming up. Obviously, Bedard's won. That's hands down. You're watching what teams fall. Where am I going to go? Did you have a feeling? Obviously, you were going to be in a lottery pick, maybe Anaheim at two, Columbus at three. Where did you think you were going to land in that process?
All the rankings, I guess, had me at two.
Yeah.
I went and had my meetings in the combine and at the draft, and had my meetings with Anaheim. I had my meetings with Columbus. I guess it came down to what Anaheim wanted more, and they saw a lot of value in Leo, and he's an amazing hockey player as well. And
Yeah.
they went with him, and I couldn't have been happier to be able to land in Columbus.
Is it normal now for you? Because for everybody listening, for myself and Tim, it's not normal what you do. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm just interviewing for the first, second overall pick in the NHL. I just won a gold in the World Junior Championships. I'm sitting in the Michigan office with Red Berenson. You live a different life. Was there ever a time during that process where you're interviewing with teams and GMs and ownership and that you ever just sat back and like, holy crap, like this is real? You're a 17, 18-year-old kid. When did it like click? Like this is different.
Well, after World Juniors, I came back and I wasn't too happy with my performance over there. And I came back and tried to be everything that I could possibly be at Michigan. And I really dialed in for the end of the season. So I was really tunnel vision on the rest of the season with Michigan. And then I went to the World Championships and played with some of the NHL guys over there with Toffoli and Lucic and all those guys were on that team as well, which was really cool to get a bit of a pro atmosphere before actually getting into the draft. And then yeah, just kind of going into the combine, you're interviewing for jobs basically with all these guys like Steve Yzerman's just walking around casually, and it's really cool to just kind of be in that environment. And I don't think I could actually take a step back and look at everything until after the draft was over, and I was just hanging out with my family in Nashville. That was probably the time I had to do that.
And then you get third overall.
Yeah.
Not bad. You look at this Columbus team. You go, okay, things are looking up. You got Mike Babcock coming in, Hall of Fame potential coach, like really, really highly regarded. You got Johnny Gaudreau. You got Patrick Laine. You got some good pieces on the back end. Everything's looking good. I'm not going to get into the Babcock stuff because that's just a whole other ball of wax there. But then you go to camp. Were you locked in on making this team right away?
Oh yeah, 100%. That was the goal. Obviously, anything can happen, but I wanted to go on there and try and earn a spot right away.
And then you went in and you nailed it. And you had a fan. I worked for the Hawks this year, TV. And so I was around Connor Bedard. And that kid, and you know him, you're buddies with him, you probably text with him and, you know, back and forth throughout the season. This stuff that that kid had to deal with was crazy. Just the media, the pressure, all the stuff going on in Chicago. Are you the next Patrick Kane? Blah, blah, blah. You were in the opposite end of the spectrum. Columbus, smaller market, very great town. I love Columbus. I've spent a lot of time there. Were you envious of Connor and the attention he gets, the sponsorships, or was it nice to just go to Columbus and just focus on the game, sheltered a little bit by Johnny Gaudreau and Laine and other distractions where you can just say, I'm going to play my game?
Obviously, like you said, there's two ends of the spectrum with it. Going into Columbus, like there is guys like Werenski, Gaudreau, Laine, Jenner, like all these guys are established NHL guys. So you get to go in there and play hockey, focus on yourself, focus on your game. Obviously, Connor gets a lot of attention for what he is. He's a phenomenal hockey player, and to an extent, I feel bad for him, because. Like at the start of the year, like I don't know if you guys saw like all the interviews and how many microphones
Oh,
in that kid's face. Like
brutal.
he's trying to play in the NHL at 18 years old. That's no easy task, and he's got to do so with his own camera just following him the entire game. So it's on that side of it, you're definitely not envious of how often he's under a microscope. But then on the other side of it, like obviously there's a lot of cool things he gets to do, and gets to do all those commercials and stuff, which is great for him, and it's really good to see.
So you played in Chicago, and what we were talking about the whole game is Fantilli Bedard. Do you remember going into Chicago and absolutely working the Blackhawks? You guys were fantastic. I had seen a little bit of you. How motivated were you going into that game, knowing that people were talking about that narrative?
So I didn't actually play in Chicago. The
Oh, it
only
might
time
have
I
been the
played them
Columbus,
was
excuse me.
It was in Columbus, and the morning skate, like after morning skate, they made me and Connor sit down and do an interview together, and obviously they're putting that narrative together, but honestly, me and him are just excited to play hockey. Like it was still early in the season, and we're still both getting used to playing in the NHL, so we were just excited to play, and obviously playing against him makes you want to elevate your game. He's a competitor, and I'm a competitor, and I wanted to play my best against him. So the game ended up going the way it did, and we won, and it was great. He had a really nice goal, so it was cool.
Did he purposely hike his shorts up for that interview to show
You
off
gotta
his
think,
legs?
right? You gotta
Isn't
think.
it crazy that he all of a sudden his shorts just get smaller and smaller as the year went on?
Yeah, I think he's getting the sizes down. That's gotta be the thing, right?
Do you want to do that too, Adam?
No, I don't have the legs for that.
To Columbus. What's that organization like? Because you're in Michigan. And we know how college football works. The same's for hockey. You guys are treated fantastic. What's that transition like going from Michigan to Columbus? Was it a huge step up or was it pretty lateral where it's like, okay, I'm used to an NHL environment when I was playing in Yost?
Yeah, obviously, there's a lot of fans at Nationwide. Like we have a really good showing from our fans every single game. And Yost only holds about 6,000, so going from 6
That's
to
not
18
all.
every night is a big difference. So that was cool, but definitely used to playing in those types of environments with the World Championships and World Juniors, so it was a little bit easier to step into.
I have a two-part question. First, you mentioned Boone Jenner. What's he like as a captain? And then just what's the locker room culture like in general for these guys?
Boone's amazing. I mean, right away when I stepped in, he was so welcoming. Anything I needed, I could go to him. His dry stall and his stall in the locker room is beside mine. So, or right one over in the locker room, right beside me in the dry stall. So, I see him pretty often. He's at the rink early for games, and so am I. So, I'm around him quite a bit, and I got nothing but great things to say about him and the effect he has on our team and how nice he was for me or to me coming into the Columbus.
And what about the locker room in general? Like who are the voices, who are the guys besides Boone that are kind of the loud ones in the room?
Like our leadership group is pretty vocal with Gabranson and Corrali and Werenski. All those guys are great leaders. And then you got guys like Olivier and even Sillinger. Like those are all guys that are great to be around. I mean, my stall's right beside Kent Johnson. Me and him like to have a lot of fun in the locker room too. So we have a good time in our locker room. We have a really good environment.
So, I know I saw you get into some fisticuffs when you played Michigan State with Michigan, the rivalry there. You like to mix it up a little bit. Matt Rempe came into the league. He asked you to fight, probably. You said no, because that's just the game you play. Your teammate, Matthew Olivier, what was the lead up to that? Because Rempe was tearing through the league. You guys were, I think, his fourth or fifth game. He had just finished fighting Nick Delorier. Was Olivier ready for that? Was he saying stuff in the locker room before the game, like, I'm going the big guy, let's go? Because he did some interviews after saying he was ready, like he wanted that fight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Rempe fought the game before,
Yeah.
and all he was saying that, like he asked him, he's like, "Listen, man, like if you need it," because we were playing them like another like next night or whatever, back in New York, and all he was saying like, "Listen, man, if you need a night, like whatever." And I'm pretty sure the story goes, he said, "No, like it's we'll go tonight," and I was, all right, and Ollie is one of the scariest human beings when he's pissed off I've ever seen. So he definitely got the best of Rempe in that fight, but like he had so much respect for Rempe for actually going and dropping him two nights in a row or whatever it was, two games in a row. So yeah, that was really cool to see.
What's the biggest difference you notice? Because the jump is getting smaller and smaller, it seems like, from college to the pros, where guys are stepping in and making immediate impacts in the game. You come in, this 19, 18-year-old kid steps into the Columbus Blue Jackets lineup and is playing fantastic. Second line center, first line center, some nights putting up good points. 27, you got injured, came back, played really, really solid. What's the biggest difference between the two leagues?
I'd say guys are there's a different level of intelligence defensively. Everybody just knows where to be. Everything's so rigid with systems, and everybody's stick is so good. You have very little time and space to make decisions and make plays. I found I in college I had more time to like skate with the puck and have time once I entered the Ozone, but. As soon as I entered the NHL, that time and space got taken away pretty quickly. And anytime you try and feather a pass through, that's getting picked off right away. And there's no chance those are making it through. So those are probably the two main things.
What was like the click? For me, Adam, the clicking moment was my first fight when I fought George Parros. I'm like, I can hang. I can hang in this league. You have a little higher expectations. At what point was it the first game, first shift? You're like, I'm going to do okay.
In preseason, TJ Oshie buried me. That was my like little wake-up call. And then first game, I got an assist off a of POP to Jake Bean, and just kind of hearing the cannon go off and going through the line, it kind of helped me calm my nerves down. Like, okay, like first points out of the way, like now we can just play hockey, enjoy, and try and do my best.
What's a POP?
Pass off a pad.
Oh, I didn't even. Tim, did you know that?
Never heard that, no.
BLP, that's pretty neat, Adam. You're pretty smart. All right. What, Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, so obviously one season under your belt so far, 27 points, good start. You missed some time with the injury. Besides getting healthy, do they tell you anything? Like, what are you working on this summer? Are there certain things, or is it just training speed, just everything, or is it certain particular items?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get better at everything right now. I mean, my main thing is maturing my game to be an NHL centerman. It takes a lot of patience, takes a lot of, I don't want to say responsibility, but just trying to be smart about it and not always try and have that offensive mentality that I had in college, and just be a lot more mature and methodical about when I use my energy, and getting better at face-offs, getting faster through the neutral zone. It's all small things I'm trying to get better at.
Who is the hardest guy in the circle to wrap your head around? Because you're taking face-offs versus the best of the best. Which guy would you just go in there with and be like, nah, I'm not, there's no chance I'm winning this?
McLeod. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was 67% before he wasn't in the league anymore. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, we were in overtime, and I'm pretty sure we're starting overtime. My coach sends me out to take a face-off, and this guy flips his stick around and goes the other way. I was like, the disrespect to, like, to just flip your stick around and still snap it back on me was that was funny. He was unreal in the circle.
Was there other things? Because look at you're still only 47s. You're a baby in this league. Was there other things that you just shook your head? You're sitting on the bench, or you're in game action. You're playing against Kucherov. You're playing against all these superstars. Where you just go, oh, whoa, like that. I did not expect players to be able to do that.
Yeah, there's. I'd say, like, in our second game, we were playing against the Rangers. And watching the way Panarin can, like, make passes through guys, and the way he cuts up, and how he, like, creates time and space for himself, and him and Zibanejad and Kreider and Fox and all those guys are kind of buzzing around on the power play, and you're like, oh my god, like, this is cool to watch. That was probably one of those.
So what's the ceiling for the Blue Jackets? Last year, not so good. Last place, you know, 66 points, a lot to be desired. Turmoil this offseason, to say the least, trying to figure out where you go. You let go of Pascal Vincent, your coach. You trade Line A. Still a lot of unknowns. What does this year look like for you and then the Blue Jackets?
We're going in with high expectations of ourselves. We want to be able to perform. Obviously, last year was a bit of a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
We had some injuries and stuff. We're coming in. We're trying to be a great team. We want to make it a hard night for everybody every single night we play them. I as a young guy, I don't really have expectations for where we're going to finish, and I'm not going to give you a number in the standings or what we're going to do. But our whole plan is to make it tough on teams when they come to Columbus, and to be a hard team to play against, and just try and be in every single game.
And what about Adam Fantilli, the old Nobleton, Ontario, 6'2" kid? What's your ceiling look like this year? Last year, 27 points, getting your feet wet. What do you think is a good number for you personally?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'd like to operate a little bit higher than last season. Hopefully, just continue to gradually get better and kind of find my stride and see where it goes. I have no clue.
Adam, come on. Power play. You're good when POPs, point per game, maybe. Is there any competition there? Like, let's give me some juice here. What do you think?
I'd love to try and get 50 points this year. That'd be amazing.
Okay. I feel like you're almost like a Kirby Doc. I talked to Kirby Doc. I've seen him in Chicago. These big, rangy centers. Is there anything in your game you want to work on? Do you want to get more tough? Do you want to get better in the corners? Do you want to get better defensively? What do you see as a weakness in your game that you need to work on in order to be like an Anze Kopitar or a guy like that who is a big-bodied center who can do it all over the ice?
Just maturing myself as a centerman. Being more reliable for my teammates and being – I want to be used in every situation. I want to try and get out on the kill sometimes this year and try and make that a part of my game as well. But we'll see. I mean, like I said, I'm still 19. I gotta get better at everything if I want to be the player that I want to be. So yeah, just trying to close those gaps.
So we like to end these interviews with some rapid fire, quick hit questions. The first one here is, you might have already answered it. What was your welcome to the NHL moment? Was it the Oshie hit?
Yeah, probably. That was everywhere. That was all over Instagram and Twitter, and yeah,
That
that
guy's a
was
moose,
everywhere.
though. You can't fault yourself with that. He is one of the strongest dudes that's
Yeah,
ever
I
been
mean, I
built.
definitely saw him coming, and the puck was fumbling on me, and I had to chip it. It was one of those ones where like you knew you were going to take it. I wasn't expecting him to hit like be that solid. My stick went flying. It just looked bad. But yeah.
Next question. Who's the most underrated player on your team? I think this will be a good one because you got a small market team that doesn't get a lot of attention. So who's a guy people should know?
Underrated. Might be Boone. I mean, he does everything for us. He was on our first power play. We'd send him out first in the kill. Any big face off, he's taking it. Yeah, he's the captain. I mean, he does a lot for us, and I don't think he sometimes gets the credit he deserves.
I'll tell you who I like. Other than you, I like that Marchenko. That guy's a moose. Like, he's a
Yeah.
big dude who can like put the puck in the net. I was surprised at how well he moved and
He can
for how
rip the
big he
puck.
was. Yeah,
He's a good scorer.
like he's solid. So I like him. I think he's going to be. Is he younger?
He's younger, yeah. He's in early 20s.
Okay, so he's not, well, obviously not you, but what was Johnny like, Johnny Hockey? Because he obviously, Calgary, big move to not re-sign in Calgary, comes to Columbus, huge question marks. How's he?
He's great. I mean, Johnny's the man. He's a lot of fun to be around, and then when you're on the ice with him, obviously he can do things that nobody else can. So it's cool to see that part of his game. And then off the ice, he's just a lot of fun to be around. He likes to joke around and stuff, so it's fun.
What is the off the ice stuff? Because for a 19-year-old kid, it's a little different. You're still trying to find your footing. What was your first year like? Did you live with somebody? Did you were your parents around? Did you like how was that transition?
I live by myself. Parents weren't around too often. They came down when they could, but for the most part, I was living by myself. Veteran guys on the road every now and then would have me come out to dinner with them, and that was great. And we had a really good group of young guys as well. So with Sillinger and Johnson and Blankenberg for a while, really good guys to just hang out with on the road. So that was fun too.
Do you pay your own bills?
I
Are you
do.
paying the utilities?
I am.
Wow, that's pretty good. When I was playing, I had Benoit Pouliot. I think he was number two, maybe number three. The guy didn't pay anything. Great guy, but his team paid everything, so he didn't have any idea or how to do anything. So it's nice. Did you must have learned that in college though, or do you probably live in the
Yeah.
dorms?
Yeah, I only lived in the dorms. I mean, I don't actually get like physical bills. They're kind of like automatically paid through a financial advisor. But
Oh, so you don't do anything then, Adam.
It's his
I mean,
money,
the money's
though.
coming out of
Yeah.
my account, no?
Okay. No, you don't do a thing. See, that's it. Okay. Now you're taken care of. You're just like Benoit, where it's just like, yeah, I pay a guy to take care of that stuff. It's a different world, Tim. It's a different world, but it's good. It's nice to know you're taken care of. But did you like living on your own? It's a
Yeah, I
big
enjoyed it.
jump.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely an adjustment, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Now, do you ever get lonely, Adam?
Sometimes when you're at home for a while, I mean, like, you're definitely by yourself a lot of the time because the older guys have kids and they got responsibilities when they go home. So, you're definitely by yourself quite a bit.
Yeah. Who's the other young guys on the team that you kind of gravitate towards? Because the other young guys, Kent Johnson, 21, you got Sillinger, who's 21. Is there some guys you really were gravitating towards?
Yeah, those two guys were great. Olivier, Blankenberg, those are the younger guys. So yeah, I hang out with them a lot.
That is actually, Tim, something weird because you think these young kids, they come into the NHL, you're the only teenager.
Yeah.
It's probably got to be hard because people and players don't go and get drunk and stuff, but they go out and have dinner and have a beer, and you can't. So it's got to be, I never thought about that. That's got
Yeah.
to be to deal with. Is it? I don't know. I don't want to get into your therapy, but yeah, it's difficult all around to be, I don't know, 19. You're still a kid. You're still a baby. But anyways, moving on. Sorry.
Who's the hardest defenseman to play against?
I didn't get to play against the whole league, but from what I did play against, Quinn Hughes. Yeah.
Wow. Just, what makes him so hard to play against?
You always got to be on your toes when you're forechecking him. He can make a move and get around you. He's very easy to get around. So he's tough to defend, I'd say, like as like a forechecker. And then off the rush, like I think Keandre Miller is an extremely, extremely talented defensive defenseman.
No kidding. So just more, you have the puck, it's Miller. Going after forechecking, it's Hughes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because everybody says Hedman. Everybody we have on is, oh, Victor Hedman's impossible to play against. So did you get to play against him?
Yep. Yeah, he did. He's obviously an extremely talented defenseman.
Not as good as Keandre Miller, though, apparently. Okay.
Couple this more one, here. Tim.
That's a good one.
Who's your favorite player to watch?
McKinnon.
It's low hanging fruit. Yeah.
You, yeah, again, only 49 games or something like that. But who are your favorite two line mates to play with?
I played with everybody. I mean, obviously playing with Johnny was a lot of fun. Playing with Kent Johnson, they're kind of the same player, so in similar ways. So them would be like in the same bracket. And then on the other side, I played on Boone's wing for a bit, and that was great. Yeah, when I was with Patty was fun to play with. He's very smart, talented. Marchich, Marchenko, Chinnikov, they're both great. I mean, I can't really even pick because I played with everybody for a pretty equal amount of time.
Yeah, it's a hard question. Half a season.
Yeah, you play with everybody. Usually you want a consistent. I think that's tough for a team that's struggling. You're trying to find consistency, getting kind of like just used to line mates, and you got to switch it up because you're not winning. I watched it in Chicago. Poor Connor. You had a little bit better than him. He was playing with AHL guys for most of the season. Where it was just like, man, oh, man, he couldn't find a line mate. And sometimes I would see them, I'm like, he's playing with who? And you have to check the stat pack. He's like, Ryan Donato? Like, holy, okay. So anyway, at least you had some good NHL talent to play with. Because poor Connor was just targeted. When you played Chicago, I don't want to make this about him. Was it just like, just focus on 98 and we're going to win the game?
No.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, you watch clips and you see like on the power play, like it's a lot of it's going to run through him, and in the offensive zone, you obviously got to be aware of him when he has the puck. And but it's not like you sit down in your team video and just put 98 on the board and say, you got to watch out for this guy.
You could, you're not worried about Seth Jones. I'll say that. So, but anyways, all right. Sorry, Tim. Sorry.
Yeah. Last question for me. We have a lot of young kids that listen to the show. What advice do you give to kids that want to get better at the game?
Enjoy practice. I mean, loving practice and loving to get better at small things, I find is what helped me the most. Because if you don't like actually have fun doing it, you're not going to want to. And wanting to get better is, I think, what's most important.
What's your favorite part of practice, then?
Favorite part of practice? Kind of doing things on my own, like small niche little things, like making sure you're good at picking it up on your backhand or picking up rims or getting bad passes in your feet and turn them into shots, like just small little things.
As a centerman, is that ideally where you want to end up, down the middle, 1A?
Yeah, hopefully.
As a centerman, what's the most difficult thing? Is it going from defense to offense, being the first guy back in the corner? What's the hardest thing? Because that's the most pressure-packed position in hockey, is to be a centerman. And to be, you know, 1C, there's a lot that comes along with that.
Yeah, I mean, staying below the puck is tough sometimes because you just want to get going. And
you want to cheat, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you got to stay extremely disciplined. And then you got to have your face-off dialed in. And you have a lot of responsibility in the defensive zone, going side to side and supporting the D-man on both sides. So yeah, it's definitely tough.
I know you've only played 40 some games. Who's one guy you like battling with where you see him, you're like, this is gonna be a good night, I enjoy the battle with this guy, whether it's, you know, you mentioned Kreider or Zibanejad or guys in New York? Who's one guy where you get up, you're like, this is gonna be fun?
My first game against Crosby, I was just like excited to be on the same ice sheet as him, so
that's pretty cool.
That one is exciting.
That's pretty cool. All right, anything else, Adam? I don't want to keep you too long.
No, I'm good, fellas.
All right, man. This was awesome. I appreciate you finding time. He ghosted us yesterday, Tim. We were left in the dust.
I thought it was afternoon. I apologize.
Yeah, so we had an interview for like, what, 1 o'clock? Did it schedule for 11? And Adam thought it was at night, 11 p.m. apparently. I don't know.
No. I never saw the timestamp of the meeting. I just thought it
was. He doesn't use his computer, we found out. So that's what it is.
All right. No, we'll give you a pass. Don't listen to the last episode because I was just I unleashed on you. I'm like,
my
this
buddy
kid
texted me and told me you were giving me crap.
I'm like, who does this kid think he is? Ghosting me. Does he know what this is? No, I'm just teasing.
This
thank
is
you
an
for
All-Star MVP, man.
That's right. Don't forget that. You don't
they
forget.
They don't forget.
All right, man. Listen, I know you don't want to do this. This was a blast. I appreciate it. For a kid to be so well spoken and just comfortable, it's a beautiful thing to see. We've had kids come on and they're just like vanilla blank slate. So it's nice to see a personality, a kid who gets it and appreciates the game. So I really appreciate you coming on. Love what you're doing, man. And good luck the rest of the way. And we'll be watching and hopefully we can talk when you guys are in the playoffs next year or the year prior, the year after.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely. Right, thank you very much.
Adam Fantilli, we'll see you guys next time. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.